What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yep.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
All right, let's go commercial-free, expressway style to the top of the hour. We have a Neighborhood Watch with Bobby Belt coming up here in a few minutes. Sean and RJ back next week. I'm Eric Chiafalo with the G-Bag Nation. You just heard the promo right there. This Saturday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., grand opening fan appearance at the brand new Dallas location of Hurtado Barbecue, 900 South Harwood Street. And we cannot wait to see you there. We're going to be having a great time eating the best barbecue. And we're recording a Love of the Star podcast.
Well,
which is
not,
an oddity,
not we.
Odyssey podcast.
Not we. We're not.
No.
You guys are.
That's true. We being me and Walchuk and Broadus.
I was fired.
You did get pink slipped.
Yeah, I did. You guys.
I felt bad for you until I got the notification that I was going to get in the mix. And I was like, okay.
You're like, oh, sweet.
This was a good decision.
True, Bob. Yeah. I will be there at Hurtado.
Oh, you're coming? Good.
Yeah, I'm going to be wearing a Fire Walchuk Fire Chio shirt. And so hopefully they don't throw me out. But no, I did. I talked to our buddy Scott Long, and he was telling me, he's like, you going to come out to Hurtado? I was like, I will be there. I'm going to be hanging out, so I'll be there to heckle you guys while you try to do your broadcast.
Good, good.
You guys went and traded. Actually, you guys made the AD trade. Like, you guys, Love the Star traded AD for Luca. I wasn't even really AD. I was more the first round pick in 2031, which is like some French player that'll never see the court.
That's right. Well, I'm glad you're going to be at Hurtado on Saturday. It's going to be great. 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Let's have ourselves a great Saturday morning/afternoon. Okay, so NFL overhaul tiers. Who's contending? Who's rebuilding? Who's sort of in the middle? This is put together by ESPN, and they have a handful of different opportunities that you think you could find yourself in for all 32 NFL teams. Major contenders on the cusp, need a postseason breakthrough. Teetering contenders, headed on the right track, or stuck in the middle, but a move or two away. And then you have some bottom of the barrel, rebuilding, still rebuilding, stuck in QB purgatory. The Cowboys could land in a couple of these. I'd argue.
I'd love to know which ones you think, because you're going to hit me with QB purgatory, aren't you?
I think QB purgatory is a fair place to put the Cowboys right now. Paying a lot of money for just an okay quarterback who is now going to be immobile and is off just an awful, awful season.
Where do you, I've never asked you this question directly. Where do you think he is in the top? He's a top what quarterback to you?
I would have always said top 10.
Okay.
Closer to 10 than 5. He's always probably in that, maybe at best 8.
But then to say like you're paying an okay quarterback, wouldn't you say a top 10 quarterback is better than okay?
After the season that I don't know if he's top 10 now. After the season he just had, and I know it was small sample, but now he's got another injury.
Yeah.
And you're seeing mobile quarterbacks. I mean, what did you just see in the conference championship games? Mobile quarterbacks. Hurts, yeah. Daniels, Mahomes, Allen.
Running back, yeah.
Yeah, well, some of them are running quarterbacks, but they're all at least mobile. I don't think you have that with Dak anymore.
You saw and that.
It's, It's not to say that you can't put a great offensive line around him and a good plan and a good defense to go be out there and get the best out of him. I don't think he's just going to fall off a cliff necessarily, but you are way overpaying your quarterback now.
By the way, I should clarify really briefly. Christina Massey on the YouTube says, Bobby, you don't have to be ugly. I'm kidding. I'm not really going to show up with Fire Eric and Zach shirts to Hurtado on Saturday. I did not get fired. Our schedules didn't work. It's okay, Christina. I'm just joking.
No, we're talking about the two most busy people at the station between Bobby and Broadus. Broadus is talking into a microphone every second of the day. And Bobby, he's doing the morning show. He's got insider duties.
I got a nap.
He's got a nap and stuff.
A lot of sleeping that comes into play.
He's got to get on his wife's nerves and stuff. Oh, and
I didn't know where that was going at first.
No, we're keeping it nice and chill.
Kids are getting dropped off right now.
And Sean and RJ, they will be back next week. RJ's got his father's funeral, and Sean is on a beach somewhere, just soaking in the warm weather.
Yeah.
Having himself a good time. I think stuck in QB purgatory when I first saw this, I'm like, are they really going to put the Cowboys in there? Now they have too much deference to Dak and just the body of work to say that he's still, I guess, good. And that's not unfair to say, but it is a huge question right now. What version of Dak are we going to be getting over the next 4 years while he's being paid an astronomical number?
So I'm going to guess where the Cowboys fall on this one. Are you going to go down to each tier and then list off the teams, or are you just going to jump straight to the Cowboys?
Yeah, we can list them off.
I'm going to anticipate that based on these, you had still major contenders on the cusp, need a postseason breakthrough, teetering contenders, headed on the right track, stuck in the middle, but a move or two away, stuck in QB purgatory, and then some others down there. I'm going to guess, this could go either way. I'm going to guess they put them at stuck in the middle, but a move or two away, and now we'll just see who all's in which tier. That's where I would guess they put the Cowboys.
Well, your major contenders, you got the Chiefs and the Eagles, of course. On the cusp, you have the Ravens and the Bills, the Lions.
Are you surprised that the Ravens are tied for the best odds to win the Super Bowl next year with the Chiefs?
A little bit, but the Ravens have been so dominant in these regular seasons and the Ravens are just a good organization. They're always sort of right there in the mix. So I get it, but trusting them to actually complete a clean sweep postseason is unlikely.
I just don't know why you'd have them ahead of Philly or Detroit.
Yeah, I would have both of those teams ahead of. I mean, especially because just the AFC going through. I mean, what Buffalo and Kansas City. Having to go through both of those teams. If you're Baltimore, that's a nightmare challenge. And then we'll see what Cincinnati's able to do with a fair amount of cap space and shaking some things up a little bit. Can they rebuild the defense? You know how good the offense is. So, and just the AFC North division, very, very difficult. So I get it. The talent is there, but I would not trust Baltimore in a postseason. You just had healthy Lamar Jackson. How many years have we seen a healthy Lamar Jackson in the postseason?
Right.
You just got that. And he had Derrick Henry, and their defense was playing fantastic, and you still couldn't get it done. Need a postseason breakthrough? That's going to be the Packers, the Vikings. Then you're going to get to teetering contenders. That's the Bengals and the Steelers and the Texans.
Okay.
Still haven't seen the Cowboys yet. Headed on the right track. That's the Broncos and the Chargers, the Rams and the Bucks, also the Seahawks and the Commanders.
Is this a little unfair to have the Commanders down here? Shouldn't they be teetering contenders coming off of an NFC title game?
You could make that argument for sure.
Or a Nita post. Like, I don't know. It seems like to lump the Commanders in with Seattle and, Tampa and teams that, a Seattle team that didn't make the playoffs. That just seems a little disingenuous to me.
Yeah, I have bigger issues with the Seahawks being in that category as opposed to the Commanders. I understand 1 year snapshot. You just saw what happened to CJ Stroud and the Texans after an awesome rookie year. And I don't anticipate that type of fall off from Jaden Daniels and the Commanders, but it is Cliff Kingsbury, and we've seen his offenses be extremely volatile. I do have a ton of respect and admiration, though, for Jaden Daniels and the type of player that he is.
Yeah.
And the Commanders are, they have a ton of cap space, again, to go fill out needs on the roster.
get that defense headed in the right direction. So I do think the Commanders are kind of right in that mix there.
And they built a hell of a coaching staff, and they didn't get it picked over at all during this hiring cycle. Like they managed to maintain Cliff Kingsbury here, and you know they were able to maintain Joe Witt. They didn't lose him. Like, they ended up building a really strong staff around this group. Their continuity is, it's not often that you see them able to, a team who ascends like that, able to retain everybody like they did.
Stuck in the middle, but a move or two away, that's the Falcons and the Cowboys. You nailed it, Bob.
Nailed it.
So the Cowboys, obviously 7-10.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Last year, Cowboys need to get their edge back in a hurry. The NFC East now is looking extremely formidable with the Commanders and the Eagles. You have the big decision with Micah. Do you give him the market-setting deal? They say re-signing Osa should be a priority. I know you feel the same way. To me, if you're going to pay big money for a defensive tackle you want to do it for one of these free agents, why would you not go take Milton Williams from
Crowley
from
guy.
Filthy?
Crowley guy, yeah. And he was
local
dude.
Was a monster in the Super Bowl, monster in the NFC Championship game, and the second half of the season was really a monster in every game. I would rather have him than Osa. If you're going to pay close to $20 million a year for an interior defensive lineman, and it's hugely important for the Eberflus defense.
He has said the three technique defensive tackle is the most important position on his team.
And the NFL is telling you that over the last few years, like these stud defensive tackles, one tech or three tech, are getting the fatty boomba. So if you're going to pass that thing around, I would. Osa's not a game changer. He's not a game wrecker. He had some nice games this year versus awful offensive lines, like in games that don't matter. I want a guy that's going to actually play his best versus the best in games that matter. And to me, that was Milton Williams.
Are you a low-key Osa hater?
No, I'm not an Osa hater. I just think that there's a huge difference between, hey, it's been fun having you on your rookie contract, solid, but there is better out there. This would be an instance of the Cowboys saying, we're going to pay big money to a guy that's ours just because he's ours, even though there's something better out there. And that thing better is Milton Williams.
Do you think Osa is do you think Osa's tapped? Like, do you think he's maxed out?
I do.
Yeah. So you don't think that there's, because I look at Osa as a guy who I think has potential to go further. And I think Milton Williams does too. I'm not saying Milton Williams is set, but I'm just saying when you look at Osa, are you saying that you think that's all you're getting out of him if you resign him is what you've gotten from the last 2 years or so?
Yeah, I really do. And he's been with really, really good defenses. He's playing with Micah Parsons, who commands a ton of attention. And he's still not, again, like a game breaker. I don't think you're putting Osa in the Super Bowl and he's coming away with two sacks and a forced fumble.
I thought he did have a bordering on, I don't think he was there, but I thought he was bordering on a Pro Bowl season in terms of the way that he wrecked games for them consistently. And I mean, even like the Giants game, like there have been times during his career where the Giants game last year, the first one that they played, he took up so many double teams and so much pressure that he was the one that was freeing guys up. So I like Osa. There's definitely a point where you say, well, we're not going to pay that. But to me, I don't think it's, I think Milton Williams is going to make significantly more on the market than Osa.
Okay.
And so I don't think it's going to be close enough that, like, I mean, if it's $5 million difference, do you say, well, that's close enough for me? Maybe you do. But
per year?
Yeah.
Per year, that's quite a bit.
So, I mean, I don't know. It may be $3 to $5 million more a year for Milton Williams.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, then I guess I will understand. But assuming the money is pretty equal, I would just rather have Milton Williams I think he's a better player.
Probably is.
And a better run defender.
Probably is a better player. What would you, when you look at, by the way, I think they were both the 73rd overall pick in the third round, both Milton Williams and Osa Odighizuwa.
It's beautiful.
When you look at the way that Osa plays and you're talking about that you want to go after the better player, Milton Williams, what's the dollar figure for you per year that you say, that's too rich for my blood, I'm out on Osa? Like, would you be willing to go to 15 a year?
That would probably be...
That's like right at your max line?
Yeah, that would probably be the cutoff.
That's fair. I mean, and I think that may be about where he ends up.
Now, don't get me wrong. The Cowboys have put themselves in a tough place where Osa is still a talented dude. And if you're going to let him walk out, who are you replacing him with?
Yeah, you don't think he's a bad player.
Sure, yeah. Sure. It's just I think you're going to end up probably paying close to great money for just a good player. And so the Cowboys are in that weird space right now. They're trying to, you know, find ways to save as much money as possible. They do note that if they want to remodel the secondary a little bit, you could release Donovan Wilson and Malik Hooker, and you would save almost $10 million in cap space. To me, I mean, it's another tough deal because I don't want to watch those guys play football anymore with a Cowboys uniform on. But again, you're going to have to go and replace these guys. But I think $10 million, I'd rather have $10 million in cap space than Donovan Wilson and Malik Hooker roaming my secondary.
So there's a little bit of an issue specifically with Donovan Wilson. Matt Eberflus has typically, like Marinelli and others, hey, safeties are kind of interchangeable and that they want guys who can kind of do both. Donovan Wilson can't do both. Like he can't be a coverage safety and a box safety. He's kind of a box guy. I do think there's a role for Malik Hooker. If I mean, they may say they want the cap space more, but I do think that there is a spot for Malik Hooker as a guy who can play a little more interchangeably than Donovan Wilson can. So if you're just talking about personnel and making Eberflus' scheme work, then I think that there's at least more of an argument to be made that Hooker returning would make some sense. Wilson, I get it. You might be limited there.
Okay. All right, we have a college baseball ticket giveaway coming up here in just a few minutes before Neighborhood Watch. But here's Bobby with, I guess this is just like a funny story.
No, this is not just a funny story. Mike Vanderjagt, former Cowboys kicking great,
the drunk kicker that Peyton Manning used to reference, right?
Yeah, and
the idiot drunk kicker,
the one who shanked the field goal against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Mike Vanderjagt, there's a profile piece on him over at The Athletic, and he is one of the funniest players in the history of the NFL, unintentionally so. Boy, the Colts have a history of just the loudest specialists of all time between Pat McAfee and Mike Vanderjagt.
One's likable, the other one not.
Yeah, exactly. Mike Vanderjagt, I wish we had him in this social media era. I wish he was playing. I remember he got signed by the Cowboys the same offseason as Terrell Owens. And he had this website and I was looking everywhere for the video yesterday. It doesn't exist. It's from 20 years ago. But he had this stylized hype video of himself when you would go to his website. And when he signed with the Cowboys, it was one of the most unintentionally funny things I had ever seen in my life. And he was going like, he's like slow-mo walking with like the Dallas skyline behind him, and you hear his voiceover come on. He's like, when you think of the greats, who do you think of? Tom Landry, Troy Aikman, Terrell Owens, me. He's like, it just made sense to become a Dallas Cowboy.
So he's being serious. He's not. This isn't like a parody
and then
bit.
I mean, it feels like it should be, but he was just that guy. He was so full of himself, and it's so nice to know that he is still super salty and is still a total douche, and how it's led to him being essentially ignored by the Indianapolis Colts. So this article over at The Athletic is called Mike Vanderjagt Was Money for the Colts, But One Big Playoff Miss Changed Things Forever. And this is the article. It says, he wore spandex sleeves, highlights in his hair, and a diamond stud in his ear. He once called himself the best kicker in history. I will say he did not call himself that once. He called himself routinely, still does, and had the numbers to back it up. Before games, he used to slip a dollar bill under his wristband. Because that was money, Mike Vanderjagt says.
Money, Mike Vanderjagt.
He'd chirp at coaches on the practice field. Left half or right half? Because simply splitting the uprights for an hour straight was too easy. Boring, he called it. As a soccer phenom, he nearly made the Canadian under-18 national team. As a quarterback, he earned a scholarship to Michigan State. As a kicker, he was cut 3 times in the CFL and once in the Arena League. Then he landed a tryout with the Indianapolis Colts and stayed 8 years. He married a Colts cheerleader. He got a Colts tattoo on his left shoulder. He lit up reporters' microphones with sound bites that stirred headlines and sometimes got him in hot water. Once, in the days before a divisional playoff game, Vanderjagt called the mid-dynasty Patriots ripe for the picking. Why are you even going to the kicker to ask him about, like, how vulnerable is Tom Brady today?
I feel like I would have a mandate if I was running a team. Like, my kicker's never speaking. You should never hear the sound of my kicker's voice. You should assume our kicker is mute. He cannot hear. He cannot speak. Just go kick the football, dude.
Brandon Aubrey, when we sat with him in Super Bowl, first time I ever heard his voice. We're right there. Not really. But it's one of those things where
basically
when he started talking, I was like, I don't hear his voice enough to know like what he's about to sound like. Like, it's so infrequent. Whereas Zach Martin, I know exactly what Zach Martin sounds like. Famously, he went on a radio show and questioned his quarterback's medal and his coach Tony Dungy's fire. So he's like doing radio interviews being like, I don't know if this Peyton guy's got it. And Tony Dungy seems a little too mild-mannered. But you can get away with that when you're the best in the league. And in the early 2000s, Vanderjagt was clutch and cocky and unapologetic about it. He led the NFL in scoring in 1999. 4 years later, he was the first kicker in history to finish a full season without a miss. 83 of 83 on field goals and extra points. He used to taunt the opposing sideline before game winners, rubbing his thumb over his index finger. Why? Because he was money. Remember, that's his big thing. He was money. Well, now he is a bitter man. Vanderjagt today has no relationship with the team he left as its all-time leading scorer. This is the article over at The Athletic that was making me cackle. Let's be honest, he says. Clearly, I should be in the Ring of Honor. But he's not, and he's never going to be. And plenty of it has to do with one afternoon in January 2006. Vanderjagt still tells his son, whatever you do, don't be a kicker. Because no matter how good you are, they'll only ever remember you for the ones you miss. He's still, to this day, this article talks about him being so bitter. He said, I had a lot more to offer than just being a kicker. That's just how I feel. Talks about how he was just a locker room presence, a big marketing brand. But he's still, his kid who plays football now, he's in his ear apparently all the time with his bitterness of just telling him, like, don't ever be a kicker. They'll never love you. And just still sitting there 20 years later, pissed off at the world and still cocky as ever. This dude, I want to see McAfee interview him. I want to see McAfee sit down with Vanderjagt.
I'm here for that.
As a high school senior in Ontario, he averaged 31 points a game on the basketball court. And he notes that was without a 3-point line. This dude is, in hindsight, he talks about, he said he was on the soccer field, he was one of the best young goalies in Canada, the last cut of an under-18 national team. At one point, his mom weighed sending him to Europe to train. In hindsight, I wish she had, he says. Vanderjagt believes he would have made it and been a lot happier. than he was in the NFL. I do like that he's talking about average 31 a game without the three-point line, and then his whole career became three-pointers as the field goal kicker. But anyway, this is it. I'm going to post this on the website because it reads like a parody article. Everything Vanderjagt says and did was always a parody article, and this one was cracking me up, like reading it over again. I cannot believe the dude wore sweatbands on his wrist as a kicker just so he could tuck dollar bills in there to remind everyone that he was money.
I would encourage everyone to go to YouTube and rewatch that kick versus the Steelers in the playoff game in the dome. And it is as bad of a kick as you'll ever see from a supposed professional.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.